Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Nancy Ryan. Ryan rocks it Asbury Park style. Another Thursday night. Here we are. And let's see, I've been doing this now for over 4 years on Thursday evenings at 5:30. And as everything in life, things change, and I'll tell you about that later. But without further ado, I'm sure that you all read the wonderful promotion that I did with the help of Mr. Philip Richards, because I went and I did a lot of research and met him, as a matter of fact, personally. But my guest tonight is Philip Richards, and he is the director, the division director of the Jersey Shore Rescue Mission, located on Memorial Drive in Asbury Park, New Jersey. Welcome, Phil.
Thank you, Nancy. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, it's nice to have you. And I think you like to be called Phil, right?
Yeah, Phil is fine.
Okay, great. Phil is fine. Okay, that's terrific. Well, Phil, we're going to start the show off like I do usually. Sometimes I forget and I just go on and don't even ask the question for half the show. But, Before I even ask you the question, I want to say this. I promised some of my guests I was going to do this. Oh, where are my chatter teeth? They disappeared. Wait a minute. Where'd they go? Well, anyway, if I get talking too much, I'm going to request that you say, hello, Nancy. Hi. I'm here. Hi, Nancy. And just interrupt me. Just interrupt me. It's perfectly acceptable. It's politically correct to interrupt Nancy Ryan, Ryan Rocks. So, my question to you is, while you were growing up, who influenced you the most and why? And, like, who influenced you to become the wonderful person that you are today?
Well, my mother, of course, played a huge role in that, as well as my father. But I really have to recognize my mother first and foremost, because she told me, you know, that while I was in her belly, she used to pray for me. And she was somebody that, you know, raised me in a very caring and compassionate and loving way. And like any kid, you know, you go to the parent who you can get more from. And you know, it was my mother usually that I can get more from than my father.
Right.
But, you know, my mother, she would pray with me every night before we would go to bed and sit by my bed and pray with me. And, you know, we would go out for a mother-son dinner usually once a week. And it was just, you know, a special time where, you know, she really wanted the best for me. I remember one time my cousin came to live with us for a little while, and my mom took me shopping for sneakers, and you know, my cousin said, "So what kind of sneakers are you going to get for Phil?" And she said, "Oh, the best." And he said, "Best."
Right.
He said the best. He said the best costs, you know, a lot of money. And she said, "Oh, well, only the best for my son." So, of course, when she found out the price tag, you know, she was sticker shocked. but I gave her some options, of course. You know, I didn't want her to feel obligated to buy me some astronomically priced pair of sneakers. But you know, she always wanted the best for me, genuinely. And you know, she raised me well, and she she's really the one that introduced me to God. So you know, it's funny too, because you know, I was born the day before JFK, or the day after JFK was assassinated. I was born on November 23rd. Yeah, I was born on November 23rd.
I was a teenager by then. Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, 63, and Kennedy was shot on the 22nd, you know. So my mother, going through that sort of event, being pregnant, ready to have me. You know, it was just
just
a remarkable time, you know, and the fact that she prayed for me while I was in her belly, you know, she probably felt like, you know, thank God I've been praying for him because the president of the United States was just assassinated. And, you know, here I've got this child in my belly that's ready to pop any minute now. So, I was born the day after he was shot. So she played a major role in my life, and you know, just that I lost it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, were you an only child?
No, I had an older sister. I still have an older sister. She's 4 years older than me. And you know, my sister is quite different than me. And you know, my sister is a very active hyper type of person, and I think that you know, my mother was just so shocked at how much energy exude from my sister, and how, you know, how even turbulent it was that she felt led to pray for me while I was in her belly. Yeah. So I have an older sister and me, and that's all.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, you know, you were very, very, you know, very blessed to have a mother that was so loving, and to take you out on special dinners together that, you know, today certainly probably doesn't happen very often. And today's the way society is today, and the way both parents are working. And I think even, you know, I think the fathers years ago, anyway, in my generation, you know, mothers, most of the mothers stayed at home, and most of them, unless they were single mothers and had to work. And I have to just hang my phone up because I should have turned it off. And that's that. So, what was I going to say? My phone is ringing and I have to pick it up, and this is like really bad. I'm having a radio show. I'll call you back. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Okay, folks, that was a call on my home phone because I used to do my phone. I'm in my studio. I'm in my studio, and I was using my landline. I have to explain this now. There's a little bit of an interruption. I really should have disconnected my – well, I can't disconnect my landline because it's connected to my studio. But in any case, sorry for that little interruption. I want to get right back to our show. Yeah, in my generation, of course, my mother was a stay-at-home mother, and there were, like, many children in my family. And my father worked hard, and he would come home, and he would have dinner, and he would go to bed very early. He was exhausted. He was in superintendent of a construction company. So there wasn't a lot of interaction between my father and I. Like, I remember this. I remember my mother saying, like, when we would act up, "Wait till your father gets home. Just wait till your father gets home. You're going to get it," you know. Of course, we never did. My father would come home and you know, she wouldn't tell him, but that we were, you know, running around and jumping on the beds or anything like that. But anyway, you were lucky to have that. And I can relate to your mother praying for you because I certainly prayed for when I was pregnant with my girls. I certainly did pray and ask God to please make sure that I had a healthy, you know, most important to me was that I would have a healthy child, have that health. I didn't care if it was a boy or a girl. I just wanted healthy children, and I was given two healthy, very healthy girls. So so we're going to skip right past your childhood, which I'm very happy that you had a really nice childhood like that. I always like to hear good stories. And so we know that you're with the mission, and I was very surprised when you told me that this particular mission goes all the way back to the 1800s, 1889, in, where was it, Morristown?
Yeah, Nancy?
Well, hello.
Yeah, Nancy? Yeah, I'm sorry, yes. Yeah. Okay, yeah, so, yeah, the mission began in 1889 out of Morristown, which is Morris County, you know, North Jersey, and so we've actually been doing what we're doing, you know, for the past, 127 years, going on 128 years, and they started back in 2006 another mission location down here in Asbury Park. And so we're still, one in the same organization, so to speak. We're just an extension of the Market Street Mission. And we, of course, go by the name, the doing business as the Jersey Shore Rescue Mission.
Right.
So my boss, our executive director, Dave Scott, always had a burden for this area. And, he looked for many, many years about doing something down here to serve the community, to impact, an area that, has really suffered a lot. He looked for a building for a long time, and, then finally, found the building and, began the process of renovations. This used to be a used car dealership downstairs, which is now, our mission, our welcome room for people to come in, for people to shop in our thrift store. So the whole building was renovated, and upstairs too, where we actually have our shelter where people sleep overnight, and they eat, they're served dinner here every night.
Right.
So in any event, the building was renovated, and then the process was put in place for us to begin our operations down here. And it took a number of years to do, but the building was actually purchased in 2006, and that's what our sign says, out front.
And of course, I was over there, with my friend who made a donation, Charles Stone, my wonderful friend of 40 years. And I went into the thrift shop. I had a minute to do that. And I bought a pair of beautiful earrings. And when I walked in, I'm one who loves thrift shops. And I've been, for years and years and years, I used to go to this place in California called Rags, and it was a secondhand. It was mostly clothing. But your store, I said, oh, my gosh, I could, redo my whole apartment. I've lived with antiques my entire life, and I'm so tired of it. I love antiques, but I'm tired of it. And when I went into the store, and it's enormous, people, you have to go over there on Memorial Drive and go to the thrift store. But I walked in, I walked past, and these earrings popped out on me, and they're so festive. I'm going to wear them. My birthday is tomorrow night. My birthday is tomorrow night. And so I will be doing my, I will be wearing these gorgeous earrings that I bought at the thrift shop at the Mission. And I also want to say right now as I'm speaking, and my phone is dinging, I definitely need to get a microphone, figure out how to get rid of my studio is wonderful and they do a fabulous job of making sure everything runs right, but technology still isn't you can't get the ding out of your ding. What is it? Oh, wait, who put the box in the box? You walked and wahpooed. But tonight, I like things to run slowly. And so far, my home phone rings, now I'm getting messages of dings. But anyway, getting back to these earrings that I bought. I just love them, and they're so pretty, and they're so festive, and they've got rhinestones all over them, and I'm going to wear them tomorrow evening on my birthday and have a wonderful, wonderful time. And so people, go to that thrift shop, because I think I intend on, selling some furniture and, redoing my apartment, at least my living room and my dining room in a just to have something different to look at, You get tired. In fact, 8 months ago, I gave my last Oriental rug away to my youngest sister. And I said, I don't want to look at Oriental rugs anymore. I've been looking at them since I was a child, since I was 6 years old, because that's what my parents had. We had antiques and Oriental carpets, my whole life. And then I did that through my life. But getting back to this mission, I want to say that you are my 10th nonprofit organization, and it is all because of my friend Charlie Stone. I had no idea that I would be given the gift of another wonderful nonprofit, and I'm so excited about it. And after every show, I will be mentioning you, so telling people to get involved in any way that they can with their, with their time, their talents, their tithings, whatever that they can give, you know, will be meaningful. So, and it's always better to give than to receive. I really believe that. So I was brought up, you know, in parochial schools my whole life and have some mission. I worked for a church. I had a paid position for a church for 6.5 years, and then I was worked for the Franciscan monks at the Mission San Luis Rey in Oceanside, California for 5 years, and that was volunteer work. And I loved it, and I was the secretary for the board of directors, so I would go and I would take all the notes, and I had a lot of fun doing that.
Oh, wow, great.
I would have to like tell people what, you know, I have to read the minutes. And I'm just a character anyway. And I would like say whatever I felt like, and then someone would go, raise their hand, and they'd go, Nancy, what about that that I said? Oh, I would say, oh, don't worry about that. Oh, I already talked to the pastor. And the pastor would be there, of course, sitting there, the priest, and he would just smile, and he would go, oh, yes, everything's taken care of. So it was really fun for me. And then I would handwrite 185 birthday cards, between 185 to 200 birthday cards every month, and then put like a St. Francis of Assisi card in there, or, you know, some kind of a nice little, you know, spiritual card. And I loved doing that. I still like doing that. This is the first year of my whole life I didn't send Christmas cards out, but I'll get around to it. Getting back to okay.
Yeah.
Now, have you always been in, you know, the mission field and giving in this way, as far as, you know, being a godly man, or did you have another career before you went with the rescue mission?
Yeah. Yes, I had another career prior. I've been here for 11 and a half years. So I started in June of 2005 at the Market Street Mission. And I was up there as the program director for 10 years. And then as things really started to grow down here, okay, our executive director felt the need to have a director down here, because he was kind of running both locations, and, you know, things were building here and really growing. And he felt that, you know, we're at the point where, you know, we need to have – more staffing and have a full-time, you know, director. And so hearing about this, you know, I was the program director up at the Market Street Mission for 10 years. Hearing about this, I spoke with him and I said, you know, if you're looking for a director down there, I'd actually be interested in filling that role. And so we talked, and he made it happen. And so I started down here in May of 2015. So I've been down here for a year and a half, a little more than a year and a half.
Okay.
And, you know, prior to this, you know, prior to my 11 and a half years of working for the mission, I was in business. And, you know, I worked in business, you know, right out of college. You know, went to work for a company and then another company. So I worked for a few different companies in what you would call corporate America, I guess. And, you know, during that time, especially to my travels in New York City, because I would go into New York City to do business maybe once a week, once every couple of weeks. And just seeing the condition of the people in the subway stations, people laying around, people laying on the streets. And, you know, I found myself not having the time to really take a harder look at this. And, you know, to get to my next appointment, you know, I'm climbing over people that are in desperate need. And then one day I said to myself, you know what? I don't have to be somewhere for another couple of hours. I'm gonna talk to some of these people. And I wound up, you know, going to McDonald's with one of them. You know, we talked, and another gentleman was in the subway station without shoes for a long time, and I wanted to buy him a pair of shoes, and, you know, he didn't want me to, and so you know, the needs started to kind of weigh on my heart, and I said to myself, you know, what do I want to do with the rest of my life? You know, do I want to continue to work in business? Or do I want to pay attention to this thing that's on my heart, about helping these people
right.
that are in, you know, dire need. And so, you know, I don't have any training in this field. And I said to myself, well, you know, I'd like to work for, you know, a Christian organization that helps these people. And so I said to myself, you know, what should I do? I started, you know, helping some of these people on my own. And then I decided, you know what, I want to go back to school. You know, a lot of my friends were going back for their MBAs. And I decided, you know what, I want to go back to school and get my master's degree in doing work, training myself to become qualified, getting my credentials to work with these type of people. So I went actually back to school, and I went to seminary, and I got my master's degree from a seminary. And, and so that was the initial move that I made by getting further education. And I continued to work full-time in my business career, going to school part-time. And it took many years. And then one day I came across this job posting, actually that was at the school that I was you know, studying for my master's. And the job posting was for a program director at the Market Street Mission. And I heard of the Market Street Mission before. I heard of the mission before. And, you know, I thought that they were, you know, like, you know, that they served soup, like a soup kitchen, that they didn't. And, and I really didn't know what they did. And my wife heard the advertisements of the Market Street Mission on the radio and what they did. I never heard the advertisements. And she told me, she said, you should go over there and see what they do. I was like, oh, they seem to be like a little rinky-dink operation. And then I saw this job posting, you know, like a year later. And I was like, let me call and inquire about this job opportunity. And I did, and I went to visit the mission, and I had no idea the range of services that they offer, from sheltering the homeless to feeding the homeless to clothing the homeless to having a inpatient long-term rehabilitation program. You know, all as a Christian program, developing people, you know, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, you know, catering to the whole person. And just to see, you know, the vastness of what they did, and that, you know, they have like 80 to 90 people that stay there on a regular basis between the shelter and the long-term program. And I had no idea how big the building was. And so I you know, and then I saw the mission statement that talked about.
I told you to interrupt me, but you know what? You're the best talker I've had on my show in 4 years. It's reversed now. I can't get a word in edgewise, and I've got my clippers in front of me, my teeth, my chatter teeth. I wanted to say to you that I was so impressed that that building is enormous, and is really enormous, and we walked in on, and I felt it very important when I promoted you to put your mission statement. I was very emphatic about that, and to put your programs involved as well. But all it says really about the programs, it doesn't really list all of the different programs that you have going there. But when I came, there was, you know, there were recovery meetings going on. I won't say which ones because of anonymity regulations or rules and things like that. But, you know, there's active meetings going on there all the time, and the thrift shop is open, and people are coming and going. And, you know, like you're saying, like, you feed people, you house people, you sleep people, you give them clothing, you do everything. You do it all, and it's, like, fabulous. It's, like, unbelievable. And I can really relate to you when you were talking about, I could envision when you were talking about going into New York City and seeing people on the streets. And, you know, I mean, I remember that a lot. And not only that, but in New York, because I worked in Manhattan for 8 years, and I would always, my heart would, you know, like break. And then in California, I lived in California for 28 years, and we had a problem with so many, you know, poor Mexican people that were over here trying to make a living so that they could send money home to their families, you know, they're starving families in Mexico, and it's a huge problem that we're having in the United States and all over the world, really, with people, you know, that are starving all over the world. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, so I'm, like, so grateful to have you and to have your organization as part of my nonprofit organizations that I can support on, you know, twice a month on my radio shows. And now, who knows, I maybe even do more than two shows a month. I don't know. We'll see. It's very time-consuming. Mm-hmm. The work, the promotion is the most, takes the most time. But
mm-hmm.
getting
mm-hmm.
back to what you do, it's, I've been in a ministry, and I know what it takes. And I'll tell you, this is what I think it takes. I think it takes a person that has a lot of patience. I don't, but I take it. I think it takes a person that has a lot of love to give and a lot of understanding, like compassion, and wants to be of service. And a big just, you got to have, like in a song, you got to have a great big heart. You know, it's, you got to have a heart for this work. Because it's not always easy. It's not always pleasant. It's not always safe. I mean, I've done it, so I know. I mean, like I said, I was in a paid ministry, and there were times, you know, I'm glad I had the background that I had. I didn't go to, you know, a seminary. I think it's for men. I didn't go to a nunnery, but I certainly did spend like 11 years with the nuns. And then I spent, you know, a lot of time studying the Bible when I was with the Presbyterian Church. It was so funny. Growing up Catholic, we had missals, and I went to church, and we sang. I sang, you know, the Mass in Latin and things like that. But I don't remember, and I know there was a lot of the gospel in every single Mass. However, it wasn't like you were going to, like, a Bible-based, like to a Baptist church and listening straight biblical, you know, right out of the Bible every Sunday. So when I went to the church, at nighttime we would have Bible classes. And I did, even with the church, the Franciscan monks, I would go to Bible classes. We would have Bible classes at the different homes, and I did that. So 11 years of parochial school and then 11 years of biblical studying, you know, that's a lot. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I certainly know. And you know what? It really comes down for me to two things. It comes down, and I don't want to make this into a religious program because it's not. But for me personally, I just speak for myself, that I believe, for me, I have a God, but I respect all people. I respect all people because every person is a creation of my God. That's what I believe. And that I believe that you should treat other people as you want to be treated, and that we need to care for our fellow man. It's really the first two commandments for me. And then the rest the rest is knowledge. It's knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, everybody by the age of 7, I think, should know. That's what they say. Psychologists say know between right and wrong. You know, what's right and what's wrong. So I'm just so excited, like I said, that what you're doing is so needed in Asbury Park. I grew up in Asbury Park, and I went to Asbury Park, you know, Holy Spirit Grammar School, and then I went to Asbury Park High School as a sophomore. I went to Charter State Academy in Long Branch my freshman year, but so I've had so much, you know, religious background, but I'm not, I'm a spiritual being living, a human, having a human experience on earth, and that's the way, that's me. So that's it for me. I want to ask you some other questions, too, about your programs. I want to ask, you know, like, for people that are listening to the program, and we have plenty of time to talk about these things, but I already said the thrift shop is, like, absolutely phenomenal. I want to stress what I was so impressed with when you said we're a faith-based, I want to find, and I have to go to my promotion that's in front of me right now here, where you said, and it's in capitals, that the Jersey Shore Mission is a faith faith-based Christian organization, and they depend solely, and I want to emphasize that, solely on the contributions of individuals and corporations, etc. And that's a big fat nut to crack on a monthly basis. So, people out there, you know, everybody out there, you know, when you're thinking about where you want to donate this year for Christmas or for Hanukkah or for Kwanzaa or for whatever it is that you like to give to, please, please think hard and heavy about going over to see Phil, to meet Phil, and to check out the thrift shop and to make a donation, no matter how small it is. Any little bit, every little bit counts. Every little bit adds up. And you can just not just give of your money, you can give of your time and your talent. And you will just get so much back from it. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it because it's been a long time. I mean, I feel like what I do is a what I do is my gift to the community. My show, Asbury, you know, Brian Knox at Asbury Park Style, is my gift back to Asbury Park. And to, because I support all of the musicians and all of the artists and all of the craftspeople and all of the venues and all of the stores and the boardwalk and you name it, if it's Asbury Park, I'm there. I'm there for it. So that's my gift for free and for fun. And I get so much out of it. And that's the thing. Some people don't understand that if you volunteer, go and volunteer and see how you feel when you go home. Even if it's an hour, you'd be amazed.
Right.
If you're bored, if you're lonely, if you're unhappy, if you're having depression of any kind, you go over and volunteer your time a little bit and see how it turns your life around. Right now, I'm in a story. Phil, tell me what you want to tell me about the mission.
Yeah, well,
and what
as
makes
you
it
mentioned,
a really special place.
Yeah, all that we offer, we offer free of charge. So whether you eat here every night for the rest of your life, okay, these meals are provided for you. There's no cost. If you stay in our shelter, okay, there's no cost. We're almost at the end of this year, but we've had almost 500 different people stay in our shelter this year. Okay.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And that doesn't include those that come in for our long-term addiction recovery program. We do all this.
Oh, I want to talk more about that. Can you talk more about that a little bit?
Can you talk
a little bit more about that?
Yeah.
That you have a long-term recovery facility right there on Memorial Drive.
Yes, we do. Yeah, we have 10 beds, okay, for people to enter into a residential long-term inpatient addiction recovery program. Okay?
Oh, that is marvelous! God bless you.
And it's a 9 to 12 month program, and they do a variety of things here. I mean, some of the basic things is a work therapy experience. So they actually help us run the mission, okay? They're given a job responsibility, whether it be in the maintenance area or helping out in our thrift store or working in our kitchen or doing the laundry. There's a variety of things that they're positioned to do in a therapeutic sense, because oftentimes when a person is coming in recovery, their life is in shambles. They have no structure. They don't take care of themselves. They neglect themselves. So when they come here, we want to establish structure for them and purpose for them. Okay, a safe place to recover. So community. That's really what it's all about. The relationships here are crucial. So you know, we've got a community environment here where they're together eating. They're together in chapel every day. We have a chapel service here every night. They're together in Bible study. They're together in group counseling. They also have individual counseling. And they're together, you know, just socially and recreationally sharing with each other their strength, you know, and hope.
And right, their experience, strength, and hope, yes.
Yeah, experience, strength, and hope. Yeah, and so... Yeah, and so all of these services that we provide, and then they move on to do other things as they move along in the program. The program ends. The last 3 months of the program ends with these. It's the cognitive piece of the program where they're attending 6 or 7 different classes here at the Mission, and they're attending classes to learn about chemical addiction and how it affects your body and your brain, relapse prevention, how to manage your emotions. You know, in other words, anger management. You know, how to manage your emotions, how to manage your stress, and cope constructively rather than destructively. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a financial management class. You know, on stewardship, being responsible financially for your money, and doing the right things with it. There's another class on building healthy relationships. You know, because relationships have been fractured time and time again. You know, through the chaotic lifestyle that that so many of them have experienced. You know, due to addiction. So the last part of the program, you know, they're taking a variety of these classes and continuing with group counseling and individual counseling and work therapy. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of that, we have a graduation where we graduate 15 to 20 men every 4 months here. Okay. So we have a great graduation ceremony, and we actually take the graduation ceremony out to the public. So we don't have it here. We want to introduce the public to what we're doing. And so we have these graduations at different churches, and we want to, expose, you know, the outside community, okay, and the church to what we're doing. And so it ends with a graduation, and then after graduation, we give them 3 to 4 months of free transition period, where now they're no longer inpatient, but they're here kind of in a halfway house type of setting, okay, where they're out now looking for work, working, saving money, still at no cost to them, and they're in this transition phase. Where, you know, after 3 to 4 months, you know, they're ready to put down a down payment on an apartment or a room somewhere, have some money saved, and be able to make, a healthy transition into housing. And so we do all this, you know, at no cost to the person.
I have a question, though. Now, what about women? What about women that come in?
Women that come in can come here to eat every day of the week. They're welcome to come in for our chapel service every day. They're even welcome to come here and clean up and shower. They can come here for assistance in our thrift store for clothing and other such items. Okay. The only thing that we can't provide for them is overnight shelter. So the overnight shelter is and the program, the long-term addiction recovery program, is for adult men. 18 years old and older.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I want to interject it then, because I am aware of in Asbury Park, and for any listeners out there, and to please pass this information along, that as far as I know, the Epiphany House in Asbury Park is still operating, and it is for women that are suffering from addiction, or even women who have been battered or sexually abused or have any mental issues and problems. They can go there, and they'll help them out there. And if they have children as well, they'll try to provide some kind of care. I know they used to have a full-time daycare facility for the children, so that when the women were a little bit recovered enough to go out and find work, that they would have the child care, but unfortunately, because of finances, I think they had to stop doing that, oh, at least a year and a half ago. I have some friends that are in that business that work in those facilities. And there is also, I want to mention, another Epiphany House that is right up in West Long Branch that is for women out there. So women, if you are struggling with any kind of addictions, no matter what it is, drugs, alcohol, cutting, whatever addiction it is, please, please. Oh, and I'm going to give a shout out to one of my nonprofits since we're talking about this topic, and it's on my mind right now, I want to say please call my friend Allison Ansato, and she is with Recovery Radio. It's actually, let me grab it here, because it is called City of Angels. City of Angels Recovery Radio, and her name is Allison Saho, and just go Google it if you can't find them on Facebook. I haven't been in touch with Allison in a while. I've been so busy with my own life and my radio show and my music, and so much is happening at one time, a new company that I'm involved with, but there are definitely people out there that care and that want to help. So, this has been, like, great. You have, like, brought up so many topics and memories for me, Phil. I'm looking at the time. We have like 3 minutes left, 3.5 minutes left, but we can go. We have more than that because I extended my show now. It's 45 minutes. So, we've got plenty of time. You're just bringing me back to, knowing that, like, unless a person is ready, like, I remember once I was in California. And I stopped, and there was this old woman, and it was cold out that night. Believe it or not, it does get cold in California at nighttime down near the beach. And I remember going and trying to offer her. I had in my car a poncho, a really nice woolen Mexico poncho, and I really loved it. It was really warm. But I wanted to give it to her, and I approached her, and she did not want to know me. She did not want to see me, talk to me. She was very, like, adamant about, no, go away. But I felt so bad, and I thought she looked so cold, almost shaking. What I did was I just said, I'm not going to force her. I'm certainly not going to force myself on her. But what I did was, and she got up and kind of walked away from the bench, and I just went over, and I put the poncho on the bench. It was like a bus bench on the bench where she had been sitting. And I left, and I thought, if she comes back for it, that's fine. But there's a lot of people that are in those situations. They do not, they're, for whatever reason, they don't want to interact. And until they're ready, you can't help. And when I see people, like when I see someone, like in New Jersey, especially in the winter, oh my gosh, during the cold time, and I see men that are like homeless, and I always talk to them. But what I do first is I go into the grocery store. Oh, they didn't change my time yet. They're telling me I only have like a minute, but I changed my time to 45 minutes. So I just did it last night, though, so they don't know that yet. But anyway, getting back to this, what I do is I go into the grocery store and I buy like a quart of milk, a loaf of bread, peanut butter and jelly, some bananas, and I bring that over to the person and I give it to them. And I usually just say, it's okay, you're cared about. And whatever your problem is, there's help, but you need to go get it for yourself.
Right.
And I just say, I ask them what their name is, and then I say, I will keep you in my prayers, and then I leave because if they want to talk, I listen, but if they don't, I just walk away, and that's all I can do. And I hand it, and I'm not saying this to say pat myself on the back. It's just something that I get joy out of doing, as I've been doing this for years because I love knitting and crochet, and I've got. I'm totally a personality, if you can't tell that by now. And so I knit and crochet, and I make all of these scarves, and then I give them to the homeless. And I'll let you talk driving around wherever I am, and if I see somebody that looks like they're a homeless person, I stop and I open the door. I just say, and I give it to them. And I say, here, Merry Christmas. I usually do it during the Christmas season. And I say, here, this is a Christmas gift to you from me. And they're usually so amazed and like they just are startled, you know. And I said, look, and it just gives me such joy to do that. I used to go to the fire department. And they still do that too, so you can go to the fire department on Main Street in Asbury Park. I think Giomano's, I don't know if they're still doing it, but every Thanksgiving and Christmas time, they have a big dinner for the homeless, and the homeless can go there. But anyway, getting back to the mission, I was so impressed. And I'm going to give a shout-out to my good friend, Charlie Stone, of 40 years again, that said, Nancy, I'm taking you and some of my friends over to the mission, and I'm making a personal donation. And I was so excited. And then he said, you know, and by the way, Nancy, this is your going to be one of your nonprofits. So I said, okay, Charlie, I will do it. I'll do it. I'll definitely do it. And I'm so happy that I met you, that we got a tour, actually, of the facility, and that you take everything. You take donations of all kinds, and you take even automobiles or, you know, whatever it is people have to donate. Do you have a special day that people can donate, or can they come? What do they do if someone wants to donate clothing and furniture or automobiles and things like that, other than money? Of course, that goes without saying. They know to come to your office. But what do they do? Do you have a special day for drop-offs?
Yeah. Well, actually, it's our thrift store is open Tuesday through Saturday from 9:30 to 5:30. So any time, you know, Tuesday through Saturday – you know, during our business hours, 9:30 to 5:30, you can come and drop off clothing, you know, drop off dishes, glasses, silverware, household items, toasters, you know.
We have
plenty of household
back.
Items, you know, jewelry like you noticed and purchased, and thank you for purchasing.
I know. You know what? I think I'm going to take a picture
Shoes. We have quite a shoe selection as well. Furniture. You know, we've got, you know, half of our floor is furniture. And
I know, and it's set up so lovely. You have the dining room tables set up all nice, like for Christmas. And I think I'm going to take a picture of my earrings. And then when I post the interview, I think I'm going to upload it and say, these are the earrings that I bought at the thrift shop, and they were marked $8, but I got them for $5.
Mia, by purchasing at our thrift store, that provides a revenue stream for us to continue to offer our services at no charge to the public.
Know.
So, between our monetary donations, and our thrift store revenues, and then through some private, you know, corporate grants and philanthropic grants, we are able to provide a wonderful service, you know, for those that are in dire straits and in great need. Yeah. And there's no government money. We don't take government money. So, we're privately funded.
I know.
Completely. Yeah. And we've been operating this way, for many, many years. You know, it's interesting.
I don't know how I don't know how you do it.
Yeah.
I don't. You must have some really fabulous, fabulous benefactors, because, I mean, that, like I said, that's a huge building that you have, and to provide all of these services and all of that food. I'm sure you're involved with, one of my nonprofits is the Monmouth Ocean County Food Bank. So I'm sure that they help you out too, don't they?
Yeah. Yes, we work with them as well.
Of course. It's wonderful. It's just, Philip, I am really, you know, I just think all I can say to you is that that we are blessed to have angels like you on earth that are committed to doing this type of work and providing these services for people who are really in dire straits and really need it. And then they can become productive members of society again, hopefully. And you're saving lives. I mean, that's what you're doing. You're saving lives, period.
Yeah.
And I just, it's been such an honor to have you on my show. They didn't extend my show to 45 minutes. I can see that. The time is up.
Well, actually, I think they did. Yeah. Because it's 6:15.
They did?
6:20 now, yeah.
I know.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, Maybe they did. I thought they.
Because we started at 5:30.
Yeah, it's not clicking away though. Usually, I can see in my studio, it's usually clicking away time-wise, and it stopped doing that. So I don't want my show to be cut off. So until this is the first time that it's been supposed, it was supposed to be added on as of last night, but it may take them a few days to get it together to make those changes, you know, in their studio. But looking at my studio, it stopped. It stopped recording. Even though when I do listen to it, it'll all be there. So it's hard to say. I don't know what's going on. I thought I heard them say you have ten, whatever. So I'm going to end the show because I don't really ever want. I've never had a show cut off, and I don't. We already had one interruption tonight. We already had the phone call. That was like a little blooper, but I'm sure people will forgive me for that one. I just want to say
thanks for having me on. I certainly appreciate it, and it's been a pleasure.
It was my pleasure. It's my pleasure to add you to my list of nonprofits. I'd like you to stay on. I usually say, well, at this time, you can hang up, but because you're being added to my nonprofits, I'd like you to stay on and listen to the list of my nonprofits that, you know, if there's anyone there that you'd like to reach out to, that you can communicate with, that could be helpful to you in any way, that you can brainstorm or, you know, whatever, pray for each other, whatever it is that you know who they are. And and again, I want to thank you, and I want to thank Charlie Stone for introducing me to you and having you as my 10th nonprofit organization. I want to thank everyone in my audience for listening, and now I'm going to go ahead and wish everybody a Merry Christmas, too, and Happy Holidays, and Happy Hanukkah, and these are my nonprofits. And, I want to say this. Tonight, later on, I will be at the Stone Pony because I was nominated in the category of Top Radio Personality Supporting Local Talent at the Asbury Music Awards, and it is held at the legendary Stone Pony. So I will be there again tonight. This is the second year in a row that I was nominated, and it is such an honor to be nominated because, believe me, I'm up against a lot of great radio show people, a lot of great even, you know, national radio stations. So to be nominated in this category and be my own radio, I was with Hamilton Radio for 2.5 years. They're the top. They're the number one. And they actually sought me out. I was with them 2.5 years. And then I went on my own because driving to Trenton in the snow was difficult, especially for my guests who were driving from New York. So I've been on my own now, in my own studio, in my own the own comfort of my home. But these are my nonprofits. And if God willing, I'll win tonight. If not, I am thrilled to be nominated. My nonprofits are. And I started off my show doing nonprofits, which is really, really, I think that's why I've been so richly blessed in this field of broadcasting, because everybody knows I'm a singer-songwriter guitar player, and, you know, that was my main thing. And then broadcasting took me over, so won me over. So they are Minister Steve Brigham, who I really have so much caring for, a Kansas City of Lakewood. Gregory and Karen Nixon, Helping Hands of New Jersey. Allison Saho, City of Angels Recovery Radio. Beverly Cruz, Bev Cruz, Hit the Streets for the Homeless. She used to be Towels for Tenderness for years and years, and now they changed it to Hit the Streets for the Homeless. Michael Schwartz, who is the director of Hometown Heroes. Carlos Rodriguez is the director of the Food Bank of Monmouth and Ocean Counties. I also have Paul A. Ressler, who is the president and CAO of TUPAC, which is the Overdose Prevention Agency Corporation, which is a wonderful, wonderful, well, they're all great, great nonprofit organizations. Holiday, and he's one, I think, that might maybe, I don't know if you're aware of him, but you might want to speak to him. He's a great guy, and he's doing wonderful things with getting everyone, you know, I'm not sure what they call it, it's a drug to help, you know, save lives. So anyway, and also Holiday Express, the founder, Mr. Tim McClune.
Right.
He is also one of my nonprofits. And the also my friend Patricia Ario, artist. She's known as the Tilly Artist. She is, it's the Info Age Science History Learning Center and Museum. And now, and I guess your number, yes, 10, which is the Jersey Shore Rescue Mission. The Jersey Shore, yeah, Rescue Mission, there we go. I don't have my glasses on, so I'm having trouble reading my own nonprofits. So kudos to you all for all the hard work you do, and people out there, get involved, please get involved. And I want to say that this year, my fourth year doing radio, I decided that I wanted to take on a sponsor. I'm getting a tickle in my throat right now. Hold on a second. I know allergies. I don't know why I have allergies in the winter, but I do. I want to mention my wonderful doctor, my dentist, who gave me a Hollywood smile. Her name is Dr. Ines Stillman. And her husband have three offices, dental offices, and her third one is right on Broadway in Long Branch, New Jersey. And she's a wonderful doctor, and she's very, very wonderful to work. It's called Smiles on Broadway, and she is the most affordable dentist that I have ever run into, and she is my first sponsor for my radio show. So because she is my sponsor, she is supporting my radio show and helping me have a beautiful sponsor so that when I go on TV and do my radio show, when I smile, everyone is going to go, look at that girl, Ryan. Ryan, she really rocks. And with that, I'm going to say good night. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Hanukkah, and I'll talk to you next time, which will be 2 weeks from now on a Thursday night. Bye-bye, everybody. Good night, Phil.
Good night. Thanks for having me again.